And first thing we need to do is take a look at our agenda. And we need to get a motion concerning the agenda.
Move to accept the agenda.
Moved by Brother Hines to accept the agenda, second by Brother Ronnie Adams. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the usual sign, the ayes have it. So we'll move on with the agenda. The minutes from the January 11th meeting. If you had an opportunity to read the minutes, if there's not any questions, can I get a motion for the minutes from the last meeting?
I'll motion that the minutes be accepted from the previous meeting.
I can't second because I wasn't there.
Erica Dotson, second.
What do you mean you wasn't there? You read them.
I don't know if it really happened.
Moved by Brother Ronnie Adams and second by Erica Dotson to accept the minutes from the last meeting. All in favor say aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. No questions. Amen. Moving right along. We move down to our our treasury report is next.
Did anybody see the treasury report in the packet?
I got it.
Yes, sir.
I do see it.
Yes.
Do you have any questions? Well, pretty good cash flow in the money market account. Any specific questions to the treasury report?
I do have two things to point out, if you don't mind. One thing, down where it says total balance in money market, it has the wrong date. It has January. It should be as of today.
Okay.
And then under pending payments, we have been paid for the CDC and the SAMHSA.
Okay, that's 18 and 16. All right, good.
Okay, thank you for those updates. The treasury report is normally introduced for information purposes only, and we do not have to vote on the treasury report. So moving right along, we'll go down to the president CEO report.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Again, you received my report. Are there any questions?
None.
Okay. Nothing new has happened, so that's it.
Okay, now Valerie, is your report for information purposes only? Do we vote on that as well?
You have to vote on mine.
Reading the president CEO report, what is your wishes that we do with the report?
Move to accept the report as written.
Moved by Brother Myron Hines to accept the report as written.
Second by Erica Dotson.
And second by Erica Dotson. Any questions concerning the report? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, same rights. The ayes have it. We will carry that report over. Valerie, did we have someone that we was going to talk to today that is available to talk with us?
Yes, Mindy is in the waiting room. This is our proposed CPA. So if you are ready, I will admit her.
We're going to hear some comments from the proposed CPA, and her name is Mindy, and we had invited her to address us tonight. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to address any of your questions or concerns to Mindy before she gets off.
Before you let her in, can I ask a question?
I've already admitted her.
Go ahead. Never mind.
I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, that's Adam.
Gallery.
Hi, Adam. Is Mindy going to join us?
Yes, she said she sent me a note a few seconds ago that she's waiting to be admitted.
I just texted her, so I'm waiting on her. For those who don't know, Adam is also part of the proposed auditing team, who has a wealth of knowledge with nonprofits and organizations that are lookalikes to BASIC. So I did text her, let her know to go ahead and join.
Okay.
So is Adam monitoring the whole meeting or what?
No, it's just the part with about the auditing firm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Adam is part of Warren Averitt also. And we met with him and Mindy.
Hi, Adam.
Yeah.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well.
Mm-hmm. Welcome, Adam. Glad to have you here with us.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak with y'all.
All right.
Hello, Adam. This is Erica. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Erica.
Adam, did you give Mindy a class on how to log in on Zoom?
She's coming. I just admitted her.
She's coming. I think she was waiting for the text. And
she was
I just
waiting for me. In. There she is.
There she go.
Sorry, that was on me. My delay.
Hey.
Hi, Mindy.
Trying to see who I was on.
Okay. Adam and Mindy,
we have introduced you as coming on board, and so that we can turn it over to you to present to us what it is that you have to tell us tonight, and we give you the floor right now.
Okay. My name is Mindy Rankin, and I have Adam on with me. I'm actually a tax partner at Warren Averitt, and Adam is an audit partner, and he specializes in single audits. I'll actually let him introduce himself real quick.
Thanks, Mindy. Yes, as she said, I work out of our Fort Walton Beach office. I specialize in nonprofits and government audits, mostly those with single audit reporting that's required. I have about 20 years experience doing nothing but that. I'm not a part-time single audit, part-time nonprofit. This is what I do all year long. I've dealt with some organizations that are similar to your organization. Current on my list is the Oasis Florida, which, as you know, probably serves similar clients as you do in your area. And then previously, when I was with another firm down in South Florida, I dealt with the Comprehensive AIDS Program organization in the Palm Beach County area as well. So doing the Ryan White programs that they have, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Adam. We did have, could y'all hear me okay? That's probably better. Okay. Yes. Okay. We had a little pre-meeting with Valerie and some of her staff just to kind of go over kind of how we do our processes for our audits and our tax return. And I think that one of the things that, you know, it might be sticker shock. I'm assuming that Valerie was able to get the proposal out to everybody. It might be sticker shock to you. You know, we have had to kind of like go up on our billable rates and stuff like that over the last couple of years, mainly to keep our employees. You know, we've had the same problem that everybody's had with, you know, the great resignation per se, where, you know, we were working on PPP loans and employee retention credits, and just we had a lot of people that got burned out. And so we tried to reward our employees that have stayed with us and make them, you know, happy in their jobs. And so with that, they have raised our billable rates quite a bit over the last couple of years. So we did look at the audit that's very similar, and Adam's team, they put together, you know, how many hours it took, multiplied that by our billable rates, and we came up with the lowest price that we possibly could. Do y'all have any questions about that? Like, I just want to be upfront with everybody because I just want it to be mutually a beneficial relationship. So that I will say that I will be responsive, and so will Adam. Like, if Valerie needs anything, you know, during tax season right now, we're pretty much working 6 or 7 days a week. So, you know, if she needs anything, we're going to be responsive, and we're going to help, and we're going to be a team in this.
Yeah, can you remind me? I know I looked at the price. Give me that price again.
Yeah, just give me 1 second. I actually have a copy of last year's audit pulled up, but I don't have a copy of the proposal up. We did go ahead and bid it out for 5 years as she requested, and we did put a 3% increase on there just because of the way things have been going with billable rates and inflation and all that stuff. So
is that 3% each year?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 1 second.
I've got a question. I looked at the proposal, and my question simply is this. That's what you proposed. Is that going to be adjusted based on the hours that may have to be put in, or that's what we can expect every year as a minimum?
That would be based on that fee was our all in fee. Now, if we, you know, there's a caveat with that. If we get in there and we're hundreds and hundreds of hours over what we all thought it was supposed to be, then we have to have a discussion and have a conversation and you know, set realistic goals and expectations. I don't anticipate that needing to be the case. That's why the price is so much higher than what you previously paid, is we're using, you know, like Mindy said, we're using actual client data. How long does it take to do a single audit for Ryan White, to audit an organization of similar size and characteristics? We know going in, this is about how long and how much at our billing rates it's going to cost. And we were able to then say, okay, what kind of rates can we give you, you know, as a courtesy? Because obviously we're not charging you 100% of what it costs us. We have a discount built into that because we do want to work together and have this opportunity. But to answer your question, I know I went along a roundabout way, but to answer your question, this is the all-in fee.
Yeah. On the 990.
Okay, so something outside of that. What is your billable rate?
Hourly.
We have billable rates like all different levels. So we have people all the way that are interns all the way up to partners. So like my partner billable rate is like $390 per hour, but obviously I'm not going to be doing the majority of the work. You know, we have it scheduled out so that the lower people will be working on the work that is more repetitive, like the staff. And then Adam is obviously going to have some time in there for the complicated things. So we don't really have like a blended billable rate. Like we have all different levels of staff and their billable rates are based on how much they get paid. Right. So obviously somebody that has, you know,
like experience.
Yeah. So if somebody that has 30 years of experience is obviously going to have a higher salary and a higher billable rate than someone who just started. And we try to you know, push down as much as we can. You know what I'm saying? Like if it's something that's just repetitive, like easy stuff, then obviously we'll have our associates do that.
I'm trying to anticipate in case there's something we need and what we can expect as far as a billable rate, but apparently we can't pin that down tonight.
What do you mean, sir, as far as additional billing?
We don't anticipate
additional billing you. You know, if Valerie picks up the phone and has a question and it's not audit time and she just says, hey, there's something going on, I want to bounce this off you. We don't send bills for those kind of services. That's part of the audit fee is basically you have access to all of us all year long. And as things arise, We want to be seen as a resource, not just a cost sucker. You know, if you guys need something or need some assistance from us, if it's something that we think is going to be long term, then we simply have the discussion with you up front and say, hey, we think that, you know, you're asking us to do a special project. We think it's going to take 5 hours. We think it's going to take this much as a cost. And we ask everyone to get on board before we go ahead and do the services. We make every effort to not send you a bill after the fact to us. That's just not a fair way to practice business. You know, if we run into problems, you usually see those problems coming ahead of time. And we try to jump out in front of that and get all parties involved to really understand where we're at.
If I may add, out of the years that I've been in this position, I've actually never received a bill from previous auditors, and we've had two different companies. I have, after, you know, an audit is done, and I have been able to call them in the past and just ask a simple question if something came up. So that's my past experience. But normally, once the audit is done in the 990, nothing really heavy tax related outside of a simple question has ever come up. That's just the history that I've had.
Yeah. And one of the things too, just keep in mind, and we shared this with Valerie and her staff is, you know, we've come in behind Tipton on a couple of other not-for-profits in town that actually we had the same story where they were just non-responsive. And they told us that they were doing that because their fee was so low that they were basically just understaffed and they just couldn't get to it. So they were kind of cutting off the people that they didn't feel like their fee matched with. And so we just don't want to, that's why we just wanted to be upfront with y'all, like going in, because we have actually followed them before on several other occasions. And that was the message that they gave to us, you know, that they, because we have to communicate with them and we're just like, hey, you know, what happened here? And they were just like, our fee was so low that we couldn't get to them. You know, they just kind of prioritize their clients, and that's terrible to do. And I would never do that, because I would just communicate with you if there was an issue. But, you know, that's why we try to be upfront with Valerie and her team going in, you know, before we met with y'all, with the whole board as a whole.
Question for you. Based on your workload and number of clients you have, how realistic if we come back to ask a question or need some clarification or any type of input, you're going to be able to get back to us in a timely, respectable manner, or we're going to be just put on the back burner?
Yeah, well, you can ask Valerie. I think she emailed me on a Saturday and I was working, so I answered her back within like 5 minutes. But I mean, you know, we care about our clients. Like, I don't know, we have... I feel like I have a relationship with my clients, so I would never, you know, put somebody on the back burner because I care about them. You know, it's just my mindset, I guess. And I'm sure Adam's the same way.
Yeah, very similar kind of attitude. I try as best I can. And I'm going to be the first to admit I'm not perfect at this rule, but I try to hold myself to a 24-hour reply rule, even if the rule may be, hey, I got to look into it, I'll get back to you, you know, in a day or so, just so that, you know, I like to kind of to touch with the client so that they at least know, hey, he got my email. He is, you know, it's on his radar. But as far as us being there, I just recently took over some clients up in Huntsville, Alabama for a partner that left the firm, and they wanted to meet. The next day I was in Huntsville, Alabama in a meeting with them and drove back that night. So as far as commitments, you're going to get that same commitment. I don't rank my clients. Well, you don't pay enough, so I'm not going to give you enough attention. That's not how we do things. If you're a client, you're a client, and you get treated the same. So as far as getting response, short of giving, you know, more examples that I just gave, I don't know a better way to say it's not a worry you need to have, at least not with us. Mm-hmm. And if Mindy hears that I've done that, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble.
I have another question. looking at your proposal, you made a statement in the, a statement that your objective is to help us meet our most important goals. My question is, what does that look like? How do you go about doing it? And exactly what are you referring to?
I think that that's, you know, we're part of the community. And when I got my CPA license, my professor told me, you know, you're here to serve the public. That's what a certified public accountant is. And I really took that to heart. And so I just feel like we want y'all to concentrate on the mission and the goals that are set in your organization and let us handle the compliance and the back side of things. Like if all of that stuff is in good shape and y'all are confident, then y'all can go out and do your mission and you don't have to worry about any kind of compliance issues or any kind of funding issues or not getting stuff done on time. So I think that that's what we're trying to say is, you know, we're part of the community, we're in public service, and we want y'all to be mission focused and let us handle the compliance side. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. That clears it up.
Yeah. Another thing that I don't know. I'm a person. I like to give examples. I think that helps illuminate or illustrate certain things. But back when we when all the PPP stuff was going on, almost all of us partners spent hours and hours and hours on the phone with our clients, just helping give advice and help them get the funding they needed, pointing them in the right direction. You know, that was our goal is we, you know, the firm initiative was you guys need to get out, learn the information, be experts in this and help your clients get the funding they need so that they can thrive. So that was another example of us helping you meet your goals. You guys needed to get the money, you know, maybe you guys needed to get some information or what's this, does this apply to me? Does it not apply to me? And we were there and ready to work with you at a moment's notice.
Satisfies my questions.
Well, looking at your proposal and your dollar amount, I see $26,000 and then that's what dollar I was looking at. And I noticed that you got here nonprofit, professional, firm-wide, serving more than 400 nonprofit clients throughout Southeast. And I understand all that. But when you break down what you're going to actually do for Basic of Northwest Florida for $26,000, tie those intricate parts into me so I can better understand that you're going to look at this area, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, because I got to have some type of general comfort level that you're actually meeting the $26,000 threshold of what we're paying you and what we're getting and actually what you're doing for that dollar amount.
Okay, sure. So as with any audit, you have to, it's broken up really into three components. We plan an audit, we execute an audit, and then we have the wrap up and the reporting phase of the audit. And with your type of organization, you actually kind of, it gets even separated again into a financial statement audit and a compliance audit. So let's first talk about the financial statement audit. When we look at your financial statements, we're going to make sure you're properly reporting your cash, your receivables, especially grant, that's going to be your materials, your grant receivables, grant revenue, any potential deferred grant revenue that we have. We're going to compare those expenses to what you're reporting to your government agencies as those expenses, because that ties into your single audit. That helps you recognize your revenue. So we have to make sure that your expenses are solid. So we know that your revenues are solid, because the first place it's going to get tagged if a regulatory agency comes in and looks at you is going to be, how are you handling the money that we're giving you? Are you using it appropriately? Are you recording it appropriately, et cetera? So you want to make sure that you're, you know, you got it in the right buckets, as we call it. And then also you've got property, plant, and equipment that we'd have to look at. We've got to make sure if there's any additions that we're testing that. Are your accounts payable correct? Is everything being recorded correctly on your end? Have you missed an accrual of something that you might not? So we do all these procedures we design when we sit down in the planning phase of that audit. We sit down and say, okay, here's all the risks there for BASIC, not just here's the risk for an audited entity. Here's the risks for BASIC. You know, where would, if there was an error to occur, where would that be? And then we design audit procedures specifically around those to make sure we address those to a satisfactory manner. So that's about, I would say, a good portion of your audit. We'll just say half for discussion purposes. The other half of your audit is your compliance audit, okay? And so that starts out, we have to first look at the population of all of your grants that you receive. Now, in your organization and similar ones, Ryan White is your dominant funding stream. So that's almost always going to be audited as what's called a major program. And when we get into that, there are 14 compliance requirements that the federal government says are subject to being audited as part of Ryan White. We then will go through and assess which ones are really major and significant to BASIC. We'll get an understanding of your structure, how it works. We already got a pretty good understanding. We talked to Valerie in detail with the other management members, because we were able to ask some questions about how you operate specifically. But we'll be testing to make sure the eligibility is being properly determined at your organization. We'll be looking to make sure you're spending your money or the federal government's money in accordance with those grant agreements. And those samples range between 25 and 60, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you've got eligibility files that are, you know, 6 inches thick, you've got to go through quite a lot of documents for each one of those individuals. If we find something, we would then be reporting that. But what we hope and what we think is that we'll be able to go in and your controls are solid based on our review of your other reports, that we can actually give some comfort and say, hey, we've done all this testing. We've reviewed that you've reported everything correctly. You've made sure only eligible clients are receiving Ryan White funds. We've made sure you're spending those appropriately. You're not overspending your indirect costs. And so that's where the compliance side of that whole audit goes in. Then we have our review levels that go on. And in every audit, we have at least 3 to 4 levels of review from a partner level that go on to make sure we've crossed our T's and dotted our I's. And then we issue, you know, that nice pretty report that's all assembled and gets reported to you at the end of the audit period and then sent off to the federal government as well.
One more question. Based on your audit procedures, how much is done in-house and what percentage is actually accumulated and gathered and sent to you at your office that you do there?
That is a question that depends upon the client. With COVID, we have changed a lot of how we do it. So pre-COVID, we went to the client site. We just did it there. It was easier for the client to pull a file and hand it to us. When COVID was in its heights and everyone was working from home still, obviously things were done remotely. The clients would gather the information and send it to us. Nowadays, we've kind of come into a little bit of a hodgepodge to where, to answer your question, it's a client by client basis. You know, we have a client that, it's a county client. They have everything is electronically scanned in that we can access from our local computers. And they've asked us to only come up twice a week and to audit 3 days a week from our offices or from home or wherever. So we do that because that's what they've asked us to do. If we have a client that doesn't maybe have everything electronically scanned and it may, you know, maybe paper heavy, then we go out to the client site and we work from there. So it's really going to be what's the most effective and efficient approach to both us and the client. I've been in a unique position where I decided to get out of public accounting for a little bit. And I was an assistant controller for a large university down in South Florida. And I dealt with the auditors extensively. So I have an appreciation for the amount of extra work that Valerie and her team have to do because we're on hand. They still have their 8 to 5, 9, whatever their job hours are. They still have their regular stuff. And then they have the pesky auditor saying, hey, we also need these things pulled. So I'm very aware and we make our team very aware of what's going on of this dilemma so that we appropriately manage kind of how much we're burdening the client. And so really it's going to be up to Valerie and her team. Do you want us on site? You want us a little bit on site, a little bit off site, or you want us completely off site? We're able to do whatever is your desire.
Now, with that, and you know, I'm going back to this dollars and cents, you know, I'm the dollars and cents guy. So if Valerie has a lot of stuff uploaded, and I'm not sure of that, and I don't know how her documents are, wouldn't that be more convenient for you and more easily accessible for you, which would drive the cost down some? I'm going to the cost. I'm going down.
I understand. The answer is no, because we don't factor in our price. We're not factoring in time it takes to get to you or anything like that. That is just time to spend auditing. We don't, you know, we have a local office in Panama City. We don't incur travel time for that, and we don't bill you for that travel time. So, for example, it would take me a little bit of time to get over there. That's not a cost that you're paying for as a result.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's just actual man hours that it takes to do all the compliance work.
Okay.
And then from the tax perspective, obviously, which is what I would be handling, you know, you get a completed tax return, and we obviously make sure that you're in compliance with tax laws, and you need the return to, you know, get grants and stuff and put with your applications.
Okay.
Question.
If I may, I'm sorry, go ahead, Myra.
I assume that you have an estimated amount of billable hours that we're going to incur for that money. And if we find ourselves out of compliance for any reason or another, are you going to shield us from that?
Can you repeat the last part of your question? I'm sorry.
Will you be a shield if we find ourselves out of compliance for some reason or another, by mistake or whatever?
We will be an advocate with you. I can't say that we would be a shield. I don't know that any CPA firm can technically be a shield and still remain independent. But what we will do is definitely be an advocate and help you through the situation. You know, we've had instances where clients have, you know, they've come to us after the filing deadline of their 990. And so we've written letters on their behalf to the IRS to try to get an abatement for any, I apologize, my wife is coming home and the dogs need to let everyone know. But we've written letters on behalf of our clients to get the penalties and interest for late filing waived and those kind of things. So we certainly will work with you. We do have to toe that fine line of independence being your auditor. But yes, if you're not in compliance, the best way we can be, quote, a shield to you is talk to you about, hey, here's, attack it head on. Here's the issue. Here's what you're out of compliance on. And here's how to fix it. And we can help guide you to an appropriate corrective action. That tends to be the biggest issue when we find clients that aren't in compliance is if they're not in compliance and they're being proactive and they've already got an action plan in place. Nine times out of 10, the funding agency is nowhere near as tough on them as they come in and say, well, we had no idea we had a problem. We don't know how we're going to fix it. And so we would work with you to make sure you're on that attack it head on front.
All right. That's fair. Thank you.
I just, if I may add a few things. Okay. I think when I first took this position in 05, if my memory serves, which is questionable sometime, but I think we had one finding based on my predecessor, ever since then, and that was in 06 rather, we have had no findings. We have had no corrective actions. Laws have changed, and one of the best practices is to change auditing firms every 5 years, which we hadn't, but I'm glad we're doing it, especially during a transition, you know, coming up on a transition. But I have actually, I serve on a national board and experienced the non-compliance of an organization. So I was in you guys' shoes as board members. And it was something that was not revealed to us by the executive director until, whew, you know, it's out of hand already. And it took some cleaning up because as board members, we didn't know. And that's why it's important to me to have board members involved to understand what we are about to go through, no matter what firm we have. To have everything above board, because as Adam said, it was very challenging. They were very late. we approved stuff, but it wasn't followed through and done by the organization. So there was a lot of work that had to go in between the board and the auditing firm to get it, those corrective actions completed, and it is a process. So I've kind of seen both sides.
Yeah, and I've actually served about 7 years on the Girls Inc. board. And so obviously I've been in your shoes as well. And I'm currently on the Tyndall Federal Credit Union board. And I'm sure that Adam has served on multiple boards as well. So, I mean, we do understand the sticker shock, but it's just one of those things that's just part of compliance. You know, it's just unfortunately has to be done, and it requires a CPA license, and those are expensive to get these days.
Yeah, I'm proud of my board because you guys are asking some very good questions.
So. Yeah, we're in the hot seat.
Yes.
I feel like I'm in an interview here.
Hey, one question has come to mind since we've been discussing about being out of compliance. Do you require or expect us to then use something on a quarterly basis to give you an idea of where the trend is going as far as being in compliance, or is that just something you do find out at the end of the year that you're out of compliance and you have to make a large adjustment?
One of the things that Adam had talked about on our little meeting was doing some interim work in around about October. So there is some stuff that we can kind of do interim, you know, like we can look at in October just so that things don't get kind of out of whack. So really there would only be probably about, you know, 6 months in between, you know, we're going to probably be there a couple times a year. So I don't think anything would get too crazy, especially because we're going to be checking your internal controls. I mean, that's part of the audit is making sure that you have the controls in place so something doesn't go wacky.
Okay.
Basic has done both processes. As Adam and Mindy has said, we upload a lot of stuff to the auditor's database that they use, as well as auditors has come on site. And at the moment, I prefer whoever we go with to come on site when they're doing when it's their first time doing our audit. We prefer for them to literally look at the documents so that we can answer questions right then and there versus it's uploaded, they're looking, then they're going to come back with questions on that, to help keep the process going as long as COVID remains, you know, kind of
correct. And I'm still kind of a dinosaur a little bit. I still print things out and read them, and I like to be in person on site. So I'm kind of glad that's your preference. That's something we would definitely be willing to do. Again, this is all barring COVID. I mean, that's
right,
you know, right. So different and unique. But we've actually worked it out and gone to client sites during COVID. Once people were able to figure out, you know, wearing masks and all that stuff. And so long as everybody could be safe, we were even able to do that then.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions? Any other questions for Adam and Mindy? Besides reduce our price. See if everybody say at the same time, reduce our price.
I tried to get some portion done for in kind or whatever, but we tried.
Okay. Well, we do appreciate you for joining with us. And
okay. Yeah, just let us know if y'all have any more questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mindy. Yes,
thank y'all very much. Have a good night.
You too.
Okay. The current auditors we have now, what is their name again, Valerie?
Tipton, Mahler, Garner, and Chastain.
Okay. Valerie's been reaching out to them and they have not responded. And I think Mindy sort of summed it up. Maybe they'll go away if we don't respond, because they're already probably thinking that they're low bidding their cost, their price to us. And so they're not being available or responsive to our needs, because I think we was paying them like $18,000 for the audit. And obviously this new group wants $26,000. And so I get the impression that the current auditors probably want more money too, because they're basically not responding to Valerie's emails or telephone calls. And so we had no other choice but to look at going in a different direction. And so that's what brings us here tonight, about going in a different direction. And also keep in mind, the audit has to be done by a certain time frame. Then you really will be out of compliance. If it's not done by a certain time frame, then I don't know what happens, Valerie, when we're not done.
Well, with the Florida State solicitation license, we have to do extra work in order to get the figures from the auditor and get a hopefully get a conditional approval. We've never been in that position, fortunately. And I don't know what that conditional approval entails. I have no idea. I can research it. But also, we have grant applications and renewals for state and federal grants that the 990 has to be a part of. And they always say they want the most recent current 990.
Okay.
And the 990 is the last phase. They have to do, as you, the questions you were asking and Adam was explaining on the financial statements, that's just the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the most detailed one. That's where they come on site, we upload information to them. Then the statements come back to us, the financial team and I. Then we go back and forth with them for any errors or questions we have. And then it's sent to you guys for review and approval. And then they go back and do the 990. The 990 is a quicker process because they run all the numbers, they've checked everything, and they can get that to us in a much quicker turnaround period, like a matter of a couple of weeks. Normally, the solicitation goes in, it's due by June, in June.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a good 2-3 months to get the financial statements done. And they've already, we asked about a start date and they said they're booked until April 1st. So that's the rush to try to get them before you. I followed up with 2 other firms. We can't even get on their books right now. So
the reason all this came up tonight is everything that we're explaining, and that even the current folks that's doing our audit don't seem like they're interested in continuing to do the audit. So even if we don't go with this group, we're still probably going to have to go and find another group, because they're not responding like they're interested in doing the audit for BASIC any longer. So with that information, we're going to have to make a decision tonight. And that's why if you have any questions or any additional comments, but we're going to have to decide what we do with this new group that presented themselves to us tonight as far as wanting to do the audit for the organization for BASIC.
And if I may, I would like to add, we do write in audit fees for in all the grants that will allow it. So we have a little over $15,000 that is
earmarked,
yes, for the audit.
Okay.
So that leaves us $10,000 to $11,000 that.
5 from Myron and 5 from Ronnie. Okay.
No comment. But that's where we are. And actually it was much less, but last week I got on the phone with some of our funding sources that are a little more lenient and work with us, and they have approved you know, for me to add another $1,000, and that was the CDC, the SAMHSA, and Gilead. So we were at 12. Now at least we're up to 15 that is earmarked.
Okay. So board, what is your wishes based on the new group that presented to us tonight? What would we like to do with them?
Awful motion and a second.
Yeah, Erica, don't worry about him. He worked for Gulf Power. He probably could do that, Erica.
Look, we done beat this Lord to death. We almost don't have an option.
So, Uncle Ronnie, a motion to go with the group that presented themselves to us tonight. Do I have a second?
I gave a second, too.
You can't do that.
I'll second with you.
Okay. Mine gives a second. Any questions? All in favor?
If you can get $5,000 out of me and Myron, I can get a second too.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, the ayes have it. Okay.
Thank you all.
Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Now we're moving on to old business. The mobile unit update.
Sorry, I had to get another tab, but I ran out of paper. I'm sorry,
what did
you say,
Roma Hooks? The mobile unit update.
Oh, I did just email Mike, as a matter of fact, right before we started, because he was supposed to send me pictures, and he did not. And I do apologize, but we are still supposed to be on schedule for mid-March to go down to Daytona. It would be helpful to find out who is interested, because what we're doing is going down, inspecting it with Hong's expertise to make sure everything that we have in the contract is there. And he's going to check out the operational and electronic aspect of it. But it would be an overnight trip. So I have to figure out the budget for it.
Okay. And
I suggest Myron goes down there since he's earlier today. He expressed the desire to make amends for things.
And you figure, Ronnie, that's one way of making amends is volunteering to go down there and check out the mobile unit.
That's a very small one.
Okay. Well, Valerie has opened it up for a board member to accompany them on the trip down there. And so that invitation is there, Brother Hines, if you want to jump on the bandwagon.
I wouldn't be last man out. If anyone else will step up, I'd be glad to help you.
No, okay. Okay. Business item is the we went back and we re-looked at Rodney Riles. Rodney is a Native American that lives in Walton County, and we was kind of concerned if Rodney would be able to be on our board over here in the six counties that we serve, since he was in Walton County. And last time we met, we thought he would not be able to do that. Valerie went back and did some checking. And that's not really a hindrance. It's not a violation for us to pick up someone in Walton County or Santa Rosa County to have them to be part of our board. And with that new information, we put him back on the agenda item for discussion tonight. And what he brings to the table is, after we looked at it, he's big into the tribal units throughout the counties. And so there is a tribal unit, like I said, up there in the Walton County area, right there in Bruce. There's tribal units over in the other counties, which he have access and contact with all those individuals. And one thing Basic realizes is that when you look at that population of people on the reservations and on the tribal units, they don't have that much contact with them. Maybe somebody that's familiar with them and they can open up to them may be able to communicate with the tribal units. And so that's one aspect that he brings to the organization by being on the board.
I vote yes.
I vote yes.
We need a motion. So, Myron, did you move? Erica, did you say?
Yes.
Myron moved that we
accept
Rodney Riles as a new board member for Basic Northwest Florida, and Erica second the motion. Any questions? Any questions? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, the ayes have it. The next agenda item is an employment agreement. The old timers on the board knows what the employment agreement is. We put that on there, Erica, for you and for Reverend Ellis. And unfortunately, she's not here with us tonight. Our executive director, Valerie Mincy, is heading towards the end of her career and towards retirement. And so therefore the board, we looked at the exit package or employment agreement that we would be able to offer our director upon her retirement. And so when we look at that employment agreement, that is the write-up that our attorney, Joyce Chastain, put together an agreement that the board and that the director would go into an agreement with for her last years in carrying out the employment obligation of Valerie. That employment agreement says that she will receive from Basic $300,000, and it would be spread it out over a period of time for her to receive that money, and she would give Basic so much time. And I think it ends, help me, Valerie, is that 2025?
Yes, that is.
And it goes all the way to 2025. But that would be like most people in the secular world has a pension from their employer. Nonprofit organizations didn't establish that. Well, let me put it this way. That was not in existence when Valerie came on board and as a director. And so what we did, played catch up, because this is after the fact, but we didn't want her to retire without a benefit package. And that's what the board put together, a benefit package. So when you see the term exit agreement or employment agreement, that's what we offered Valerie for her time at Basic in the work that she's done while she's been at Basic.
And for her existing relationship beyond her time.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions?
I have no questions about that.
Okay. Okay. New business, Red Tie Bowl. Our chairperson is Brother Myron Hines for the Red Tie Bowl. So I'll turn it over to you, Brother Hines.
The Red Tie Bowl is an event that we happened to create several years ago to raise funds. It didn't raise a whole lot of funds, but we profited about $57,000 last year, the last time we did it. This year, we skipped 2 years because of COVID. But we had plans to do it back in 2021 in November, late October. But we had to cancel because of COVID. We postponed it until May 21st this year. So in that vein, we've only collected a little over $15,000 so far towards the event, plus in-kind services from media. And we need to kick it off again and start actively meeting and trying to raise money to fund it. It's called Red Tie Ball because we expect the gentlemen to wear red ties and ladies to wear red dresses if possible. We don't really care what color gown they wear, but we expect the men to try and wear the red tie. It's a very formal affair, great affair, great attendance, keep growing every year, but we need to work on fundraising and ticket sales. I have not scheduled a meeting yet, but I will schedule one within the next week or two.
Okay. Thank you for that update. And I need to work on my end of it because I got the program, the bulletin. I don't
Yeah, you had a booklet.
I got the booklet, so I got to put the booklet together on my end. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any questions concerning the red tie ball? Okay.
Do we feel any? Yeah, I have a question. We feel any safer now than we did back late fall of last year?
Well, we have one donor that donated $30,000 the last time we did it. They won't be participating this year.
As far as people attending,
attendance
feels safer.
I think that they're going to feel safer about May, yeah, with the mask and everything, and social distancing. From my experience in the last 6 months, more and more people are comfortable in large gatherings.
And I think more and more people are getting the vaccination, and they're still wearing their masks, and they are still participating in school activities. They are participating in church activities, and so I think more people are comfortable in getting out and about, even though there's some variants that's still out there, but they feel more comfortable with the fact that they got vaccinated and they're wearing their mask.
Restaurants are crowded and ballrooms have been being pretty much attended, so I think they're comfortable, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we just continue to pray that more people get vaccinated, because it seems like folks is trying to settle that this is where we at now. This is something that we're going to have to deal with, like it is with the flu and everything else that we have to deal with. But we just continue to pray that it gets better than what it is right now. Okay. Valerie, the agency 2021 audit, is that what we just talked about?
Yes, that's what was moved up on the agenda.
We moved that up. And fundraisers, even though Myron just talked about the red tie ball, we have to identify other fundraising activities. And that's where we're going to have to start thinking outside the box, because we have to do some other activities to bring more funds and more money into BASIC. So whatever ideas that you may have, and some of your organizations in the past may have had some fundraising activities at your particular local organizations, bring those to the forefront, because if it worked there, it'll probably work here. And whatever fundraisers that we can introduce new to BASIC would be a plus.
Can I ask something to that?
Uh-huh.
Anybody who looked at our financial report would notice a $1.7 million to the plus. That $1.7 million was raised with a grant that we had for the last 8-10 years that's going to probably dissipate or even go away altogether. So that money's going to be coming in anymore. So we need to keep a track on something that we find something that can replace at least some of that money to keep us afloat for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. And I did talk to Robert at PanCare, and they do anticipate some changes, some things that take place with the HOPE project. I'm not 100% clear. That's why I was trying to get back with him, because I got the impression that the lawyers was concerned with the verbiage, the language in the HOPE project. And with that, I didn't know if the HOPE project is going to go away altogether, or if they're going to revamp it once the lawyers is comfortable with something and some funds are continue to come this way. That's what I'm not clear on. He did say that he will continue to support all fundraisers for BASIC.
Yeah.
Now, is that fundraisers only, or is that something fundraisers along with whatever's going to substitute for the HOPE project? I don't know. But he says if the red tie ball is all we have, then that's all he'll be able to attach fundraising money to. So that's why it behooves us to create more fundraisers, so then at least PanCare and other organizations can contribute money to the fundraisers for BASIC.
Right. Okay. Or we can find a donor who donates a certain amount of money a year, regardless of fundraising.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. There are big time donors out there. We just can't find one.
Okay.
Another thing about fundraising is the grants, we're a grant oriented organization, and most of the grants are earmarked. The fundraisers help us allocate monies for unearmarked funds, help with pay bonuses and raises and stuff that the grants don't pay for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. We'd love to have unearmarked money, because then that way Valerie and BASIC can be able to use those monies for as they see fit for day-to-day operation. So we still have to pursue that. We have to pursue that. Any other comments or concerns with fundraising? We are down to other business. Is there any other business for the good of the meeting?
You skipped board orientation.
Huh?
You skipped board orientation.
Board orientation. Oh, I did skip board orientation. Board orientation. We put that on the agenda because what we like to start doing is come together probably at a particular venue where we can sit down and we're going to pick an item to discuss, and all the board members get together and discuss bylaws, discuss job description, just discuss whatever is appropriate, financials. But that allows the new members and some of the old members to come up to speed to understand all the intricate parts of BASIC and how this whole thing operates. Because if you're getting a piece here and a piece there and a piece here, you're not really getting brought up to speed and getting comfortable with the entire operation of BASIC of Northwest Florida. So the board orientation is, don't know if we want to do it monthly or every other month, but we as a board needs to get together and discuss some of the intricate parts that will be beneficial for all board members. Anything else, Myron, you want to add to that?
Yes, those orientations will be sponsored by unmarked funds. I'm just saying.
Unless Reverend Hooks want to do, a fish fry something at his house.
He talking about Ronnie's unearmarked funds, and that's we got to spend a little bit of Ronnie money.
Ronnie's money buried by y'all too deep to dig up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a pretty good backhoe that can dig pretty deep. If he just lost exactly where it's buried at, we can go deep around the backyard. Mm-hmm. And don't y'all forget, Erica live up there in Sunny Hills, and they got plenty of money thrown out there in the wilderness out there in Sunny Hills. So we might do a country cookout. And a country cookout is you get a trash can, and you put all your ingredients inside the trash can. You put your trash can on top of this fire pit, and you put a tie-down strap on top of the trash can. And everything in that trash can cooks. And then it cooks the stuff that takes the longest to cook is at the bottom of the trash can. The stuff that don't take that much heat and that length of a time, you put at the top of the trash can. And by the time all of it get marinated together, you got your trash can cookout.
It's like boot camp, huh?
It's like boot camp. Okay. That's what we was looking at doing for board orientation. It's coming together in a relaxed atmosphere and having a person that's well-versed in a particular topic and passing out flyers and handouts to all the board members. And we discuss that so everybody would be comfortable. And then ask questions, question and answering period. Okay?
All right.
All right. Mm. Other business. Valerie, have anything else that we need to know about?
Yes, I have two things. We do need to complete finalizing the sections on the strategic plan that the board will participate in. That's the only section that's still left, the only thing that's still left. Okay. Erica, you and Reverend Ellis don't have that plan. We worked on it for, what, 2 years, y'all? So it was supposed to be implemented in January. So I will send that to you. I do ask members, just take a look at it again. Let me know what sections y'all want the board to be labeled in. We're just going to put board, BOD, Board of Directors, and then that can be part of the board orientation as well, because it goes from the new mission that you established, the new vision, all the way through every step. And we have a lot of action items in there. So for the next 3 years.
Okay.
I have another. I have not returned my conflict of interest form, and but I will be doing it tomorrow.
Let me say thank you to those who have. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We won't call any names.
Erica and Ronnie, we do appreciate you. And it's bad when Devin McHenry done beat the rest of y'all.
Let me find mine. Hey, when I find mine, I'll send it in.
Mine is going in the mail tomorrow.
I did receive Ronnie's and Debbie's, so I did. So thank you guys.
McHenry.
Oh, even though she checked the first box that she have a conflict and wrote, I do not have a conflict, but she did go down and check the right box. So
in her mind, she has a conflict. Yeah.
No, but thank you. The other thing I do want to add is Ronnie and I were talking earlier. There is another site that we could have access to do fundraising, and that's Wicked Wheels, because Pineapple Willie's does own that location as well. And a lot of organizations do fundraising there in what they call the barn.
Yeah.
So, you know, just different options that we can look at. And the barnyard. Yeah, especially with someone who fully supports BASIC.
Right.
As Pineapple Willie does.
Mm-hmm. So we can have a concert. Huh? I'll do a concert.
That's a good idea.
Hmm. We can get
True Soul
and
mm-hmm.
a couple other bands and have a concert.
DJ Big Boy.
Yeah,
DJ Big Boy's all in Atlanta this week. I'm like, boy, you everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can have a summer concert, a winter concert, a spring concert, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, those two items. That was those two fundraisers are good ideas, good fundraisers. Okay. Well, we're down to the bottom of our agenda, announcements. Hearing none. Adjournment. Everybody ready to adjourn?
Yes, sir. I am.
Erica, don't laugh at him. You're going to get to know him pretty good. Don't laugh at him.
Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it, Ronnie. Thank you for calling in, and be safe on the road.
I will. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's why Myron's in the doghouse, Erica, right now with Ronnie, because Myron is not funny and Ronnie just don't let him get away with nothing.
let's give an opportunity for the new board members to go down and look at the mobile vehicle if they choose to go.
Erica, invite somebody to go down there.
Thank you. I would love to go, but I yield. I
could
be at work.
Oh my God.
She yielded to Myron.
She really is a good one. Mm-hmm.
I mean, more than one can go. Don't get me wrong.
It wasn't an option for Myron. Don't get it twisted. It wasn't an option, man.
What day is it?
It's not a set date yet. They're anticipating being ready for us mid-March.
Okay. That might be more.
That's spring break to you, Doctor.
As we get closer, you know, I'll have a more concrete date.
Should be on spring break. Should be ready to go.
And Valerie, since I did not, and I overlooked that, since I did not get a secretary to take minutes, send me the recording and I'll put the minutes together.
Okay, I thought Erica was doing minutes.
Erica, you do the minutes.
Am I the secretary?
No, Erica did minutes. Don't you be getting smart with me. I'm the chair.
We voted for in January.
You know what? I don't know why I keep thinking about Ellis. I keep thinking that Ellis not here. Ellis not here. I'm sorry, Eric. I'm getting ready to take your job away from you.
It's
sorry.
It's okay. You can take it. But,
okay. Well, send Erica the recording.
If you don't, yes, please. I've already started, but
okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
It would thank help you. Out greatly.
Well, if there's not anything else for the meeting, we can go ahead and I call this meeting to adjourn.
Yeah, Friday night. Uncle Ronnie.
Pineapple Will is just an announcement that we'll be reopening on Friday, but not till 4:00.
Friday night, 6:00 is good.
Why are you looking up at that? Who are you looking at, Myron? Why are you looking up, Myron? What are you looking up at?
I'm looking for Uncle Ronnie, but you already was on first tape.
Now, let me ask you a question. You're not going to get in trouble Friday night, 6:00, are you?
Come on, man. I got my own household.
Oh, she must not be nowhere close by. I'm going to get off.
I'm here. Right,
y'all have yourself a good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
You're welcome. All righty.